Our text for this morning is the Gospel reading, Matthew 5, verses 21 to 37. I'll share with you again these verses. You have heard that it was said to those of old, "You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment, and whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away, for it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell." This is our text. Dear Christian friends, as you know, it is Valentine's Day this coming week, and so we consider a text that speaks to us about murder, adultery, divorce, and swearing. Or maybe it's really about having love in our hearts. What woman would not rather have a homemade note from someone she knows truly cares about her than a dozen roses from someone who says, "There, I hope it makes you happy." Or a big box of fancy chocolates from someone who's always critical and demanding. How many chocolates are in that box? The point is, it's not just going through the motions, but what is in the heart that counts. Well, it goes both ways. Sometimes the flowers and the gifts are used to express a desire for forgiveness or reconciliation. But we're not as apt to appreciate what comes from someone that we don't really care about as much as what comes from someone that we truly love and want a good relationship with. So also, our reconciliation with God, it comes not so much from our perfect behavior or anything that we do, as much as His love toward us. So, our text is speaking to us about starting with the heart. Because sin goes all the way to the heart. And because we need to get rid of that sinful heart. And we must be reconciled before God's altar. Let's think first about how sin goes all the way to the heart. Jesus says, "You've heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Well, despite what God's word says, those of old or Jesus himself, these sins that he lists tend to be pretty common. Murder is a regular habit for terrorists and those in drug trade or inner city gangs. Why? Well, they justify it in their minds as something that is necessary or even right. Adultery and other sexual immorality is so common in our society that media tends to portray it as expected behavior. It also is justified by some as our right expression of sexual freedom. Even though the Ten Commandments and Jesus here list it in parallel with murder. Divorce is as common and easy in our society today as it was also, in fact, in that day, when any man had the right to divorce his wife if he felt like it. Despite the devastating results, even worse then, and still bad today, for women and children both emotionally and economically. This, too, Jesus puts the same category with these other crimes. Jesus goes on in the Sermon on the Mount to add more items to the same list. We're going to get to some of those in next week's Gospel reading. But here yet is swearing and strong language. How common this is. Salting our language either with God's name or vulgar sexual terms. Many don't give it a second thought. But again, Jesus lumps it together with murder and adultery. But this is just his starting point. He goes on to say that even those people who have never committed murder or adultery, well, such as us good people sitting here in this room, can't point fingers at anybody else and can't claim to keep God's law any better, because God, who looks into the heart, can see that anger, hateful words, lustful thoughts are simply other forms of the very same thing. An apple tree that doesn't yet have any blossoms or apples on it is still an apple tree. A baby snake is just as venomous and poisonous as one that's full grown. Nasty, unloving, self-centered thoughts or words are even more common among us today, and even more commonly excused. But these excuses are exactly the same kind used by murderers and adulterers, and they come from the same sinful hearts. They're the root, in fact, that leads to the more obvious sins. And even when hidden in the heart still, they are genuinely harmful. We cannot kid ourselves that they are. And who among us is not guilty of them? Which is Jesus' point. How can we possibly not be, as long as we have eyes and ears, etc.? We need to get rid of a sinful heart. Jesus says, if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away, for it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away, for it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. Well, these are pretty extreme words, but they're true. Isn't it better to spend life without one hand than to spend eternity in hell? But before you go and get your hatchet, if sin goes all the ways to our thoughts and our words, can cutting off a hand or gouging out an eye really stop us from sinning? How far do we have to keep cutting? Can tearing out one eye or even both eyes change how we look at ourselves and how we see others? If it was our eye or our hand that actually was what caused us to sin, then maybe so. But the cause goes deeper. It is the distorted desires of our hearts. It's the wrong reasoning of our minds. Do we need to keep cutting that far? Well, in a sense, yes. Now, on one hand, even some less extreme amputations can help. There may be places we go that lead us to go too far that need to be eliminated from our itinerary. There may be things that we watch and fill our minds with that are dirt in which sin tends to grow and are better cut out of our schedule. There may be things that we have stashed away or even keep on buying that supply the tools and the ammunition that the tempter uses to attack us and are better thrown into the trash. But ultimately, we do need to be cut to the heart. We need to get rid of hearts and minds that are sinful by opening our eyes and our ears to what God says about the real dangers of sin. We need to repent sincerely and repeatedly. This means we need to let loose of the sinful things in our life that we may feel, oh, I can't live without that, so that God can give us new hearts and new minds. We must be reconciled before God's altar. Jesus says, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and